Hello to all my beautiful friends and neighbors out there. I hope you're all doing well, and if it's as cold and wet where you are as it is here, I also hope you're keeping warm and dry. It's nastily rainy here in this part of Canada at the moment, and the rain is apparently supposed to turn to snow later on tonight, so I can't help feeling sorry for all the poor people that are going to have to commute to work tomorrow morning in this mess. Then on top of that, to add insult to injury, when the temperature rises tomorrow, the snow is going to turn back into rain, so any accumulation that we get will become nothing but slush and slop in fairly short order. All those poor folks will have a nasty commute home, too, come to that. But this weather always puts me in mind of an Ezra Pound poem. I should know the title, but it will not come to me, sorry about that. It's really funny, though. It's a parody of the traditional Anglo-Saxon Sumerisi Cumminin poem. But rather than being about the joys of summer, it's about the vagaries of winter. So you get Clwyd sing goddamn rather than Clwyd sing cuckoo. Oh, part of it goes something like, skiddeth bus and sloppeth us, and ague hath my ham, lewd sing goddam. Oh, good old Ezra. Anyhow, sorry that I haven't been posting much of late, folks, and that I've been failing to keep up with my participation in February. To be honest with you, I just really have not been in the mood, probably because of my aunt's passing last week. I suppose if I become more inclined to jump back on the February bandwagon, I could do so, but I don't really want to, because I don't think it's fair to bombard you all with all the days that I've missed all at once. But yeah, the past few days have been rather difficult for me, because I'm still kind of coming to terms with the fact that my aunt is gone. It happened so suddenly. And she was comparatively young when she went. In fact, the way it happened was really bizarre. Last Tuesday afternoon, a friend of hers saw her at around 5 o'clock, and she was singing and happy and having a great day. But then by 6 o'clock, she knew something was terribly wrong. She called my Uncle Butch and said, "I've got the worst headache I've ever had, and I can just tell that I'm in trouble here." And then she called an ambulance. And by the time the ambulance got there, 15 minutes later, she was unresponsive. She had had a massive brain hemorrhage, and she never regained consciousness. But I have to tell you, folks, something really freaky about all this. Part of me wonders if my Aunt Brenda knew that something was going to happen to her. The reason I say that is, first of all, my cousin Carrie has said before that my aunt has had premonitions about various things all her life. Then, also, on January 8th, my aunt wrote letters to all her sisters and her kids and her grandkids that she wanted them to have in the event of her death. So my mom got her letter on Thursday night, and she said it was very heartrending. Also, the same day that she wrote all these letters, my aunt texted my cousin Carrie and said, "If anything should ever happen to me and I can't speak for myself and I'm in the hospital, please don't put me on life support." Then she texted my second cousin Nick and said, "If anything happens to me, there's a certain song I want you to play at my funeral." And she told him what it was. He played it for us at the visitation that I went to on Thursday, and it was very sad. It was an Elvis song. I can't recall the exact title, but I think it was called something like Softly As I Leave You. Anyhow, I just find that all very bizarre, so I can't help wondering if she had some inkling that something was going to happen. Probably not, but all of this is too ironic to be coincidental. Anyhow, I'm very grateful that I was able to attend the visitation last week. My mom called me up on Wednesday night and asked if I would go, and of course I said yes. It was a very long, very tiring day, but I'm so glad that I was able to be there to support my family, and I wouldn't have missed it for anything. Dad picked me up early on Thursday morning, and I felt badly for him because he had a lot of driving to do that day. We went back to my parents' farm for a few hours, and then my dad drove my mom and I to the funeral home where in the town where my aunt lived. We stayed for both visitations, and we stood in the lineup for the entire time. The first one was supposed to go from 1 until 4, but we didn't end up finishing till closer to 5 because, I kid you not, people were lined up out the door. Practically the entire population of that town where she lived showed up en masse to pay its respects. Now, I realize that one has a tendency to exaggerate the merits of one's loved ones, especially in the wake of a bereavement. But when I tell you folks that my aunt was the soul of kindness, and practically everybody who knew her in that small town where she lived loved her very much, I mean that with the utmost sincerity. So friends of the family came, distant relations came whom we hadn't seen in donkey's years. Employees at stores where my aunt used to shop showed up. She often spent her time at the nursing home where an uncle of mine resides. And if she wasn't helping him, then she was lending assistance to some other senior citizen that lived there. So almost every person that worked at that nursing home showed up for the afternoon visitation. So as I say, we didn't end up finishing till close on 5 o'clock. Then some kind soul thought to bring sandwiches and fruit and cheese and that sort of thing to the funeral home. So we were able to adjourn downstairs to a break room to have some supper. Then the second visitation was supposed to be from 7 until 9. But again, people were lined up out the door. I kid you not. So we ended up starting at 6:45, and we did not get out of that funeral home until 10:30 that night. People did not have enough good things to say about my aunt, and I think it must have done my cousins and second cousins a world of good to hear all those nice things. It's just too bad that people didn't have the chance to say them all while she was alive. My heart just goes out to my Aunt Brenda's kids and grandkids because they were all so close to her, and I just cannot imagine what they must be feeling right now. I said to my mom on Friday morning, I said, I know this sounds really selfish. I loved Aunt Brenda very much, but I cannot imagine what it must be like to lose a mother. And I said, as selfish as this is, I'm sorry she's gone, but I'm very grateful that it wasn't you. I'm very close to my mom, as my aunt's kids were close to her. So I just think this is heartbreaking for them. Anyhow, my parents decided to go on their trip to the Dominican Republic after all, and I'm really glad they went, because my poor mom, especially, has had a really hard go of it this past 2 months. And I know she kind of doesn't like the idea of grieving somewhere away from home, but at the same time, I think she needs a change of scene. And as they say, a change is as good as a rest. So she did eventually decide on the spur of the moment to go on Friday morning. They had tried 3 ways to Sunday to get a refund or rebook their flight, but they couldn't manage it because they hadn't taken out any traveler's insurance. I mean, this was the last thing they foresaw happening, obviously. But all through the visitations, my mom's sisters kept encouraging her to go. In fact, my Aunt Cheryl, who is absolutely lovely, said, "You go. This is an order. There are no ifs, ands, or buts here. You know, Brenda would have wanted you to go, and so do we." And she's right. My aunt really would have wanted my mom to go and have a good time. The last text my mom got from her was, "I hope you